What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And my comments about illegal have already prompted, about Israel being just a front for global criminal activity, have already prompted a flood of emails, some of which are obscene and profane and screaming the usual thing about Holocaust, Nazi, Hitler, you're an anti-Semite, blah, 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 blah. But other stuff is coming in there. Apparently, the Salt Lake Tribune is reporting how the federal government has basically gone after Israel over billions of dollars of illegal money transfers. We're just putting that up at whatreallyhappened.com. And, you know, people are going to say, oh, you're just saying that because you hate the Jews and all the rest. And it's complete nonsense, okay? We have seen over the last months the organ brokering, the illegal organ brokering. They nailed that rabbi in New York over control of the international ecstasy trade, comes from Israel. We know that there is a huge forced prostitution scandal taking place in Israel, and it goes on and on and on and on. And trying to dismiss it all and explain it away by saying, oh, you just hate the Jews, makes about as much sense as trying to defend Hitler by saying, you just hate the Germans. You know, Hitler didn't do anything wrong. You're anti-Aryan. You're anti-German. And Israel's gotten away with this for years and years and years because the media is co-opted. With enough money, you can buy anybody, and most prostitutes will sell out their stories for less than a good call girl. All right, Andrew in Canada, aloha. Andrew, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Mike. Thanks. Yes, and on that point, you're absolutely right. If what we're dealing with when we get that kind of criticism is people would rather attack us than address each issue specifically and logically.
Well, they can't
and leave the emotion.
The issues.
Yes, yes, they can't. They don't have the capacity. And they, you know, they can't even look in the mirror and recognize the their deficiency in that regard.
Well, but, you know, there's an old joke about lawyers. You know, if the facts are against you, argue the law, and if the law is against you, argue the facts, and if both the facts and law are against you, call the other side names. Which is basically where Israel is right now. The law's not on their side. The facts are not on their side. All they can do is scream and cry, anti-Semite. You know, you're a Jew hater and Holocaust and Hitler and all the rest of that stuff. And it's just basically a dodge. And we even have this video out there where one of the Israeli ministers says, yeah, we do it to silence discussion and debate because we can't actually win, you know, a real honest debate on what's going on. So we have to scream insults at them to shut them up.
Well, and on the topic of Holocaust and you know, there have been so many. There's a Holocaust in our backyard. I live on the west coast of Canada on Vancouver Island.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
We know the location of over 28 mass graves as a result of government and church activity here. And in that regard, you know, one of the things about Canadians is we're very smug. We like to hold ourselves up as being better than the others, and especially as better than Americans. That's a huge theme that you'll notice in Canada. And
you are more polite, I will grant you that.
Yeah, but it's a myth, and it's a very much a false myth. And in the spirit of information now being exposed, the hidden history in Canada of the Holocaust and genocide that has taken place here is now exposed. And although there's been a tremendous amount of effort to cover it up, some of the evidence is now up online and available to people to take for themselves and read. But I'll tell you, it's a really interesting situation to be in. Living in Canada and criticizing Canadians.
Okay, we need to back up here a little bit because I know that you know what you're talking about and I know what you're talking about, but for the benefit of our listeners who are not familiar with this, we're talking about Kevin Annett and the revelation that religiously operated schools in Canada that were dealing with the Canadian natives, the native Canadians, were engaging in hideous abuse and even the murder of these children. And it was covered up. It was a huge, huge scandal. It was covered up just like the current sexual molestation scandal was covered up. And there's been this major fight. I think, if I recall correctly, because we had Kevin on the show, we're actually going to have to take a break for commercials here. So, Andrew, stick with me. I do want to touch just a little bit. Then we got to get back to more current events. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors.
Shocking, terrifying, but very truthful and revealing.
Finally, a documentary on the horrifying results of unopposed estrogen. Estrogen dominance. Are we writing our own epitaph? I urge you to go to www.republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the HealthLink America banner and watch the documentary, The Disappearing Male. To my knowledge, this is the first documentary about the threat that unopposed estrogen poses to our survival as a species. It's a real eye-opener. But the documentary gives no solution to the problem. We have the solution. If we don't get the progesterone message to the younger generation, especially the young women, our very survival is in jeopardy. Again, that website is www.republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the HealthLink America banner. After viewing, please visit our website, www.healthlinkamerica.com.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Attention RBN listeners, the Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're talking with Andrew in Canada about Kevin Annett and the Canadian residential school system scandal. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because it is pulling us off the topics that really are we're having to deal with today. And as horrible as the residential school scandal is, it's long ago and we need to keep it in its proper perspective. But in short, Kevin Annett was a minister up in Canada, and he just over the course of his ministry, he stumbled across evidence that there had been these horrible abuses within the church-operated residential school system directed against the Canadian Aboriginals. These students were abused, some of them sexually. Seems to be an ongoing problem with churches everywhere. A lot of them were physically beaten in very inappropriate degrees. Many of them died, just flat out were killed and are in those mass graves. Kevin tried to basically deal with this thing. He got defrocked, kicked out of the church. They tried to silence him. We did have him on the show many, many years ago. And basically, I think that's kind of where we are in a nutshell with the story.
Yes, and then if I may, Mike, just to bring it up to date and make it current, what's changing is, first of all, certainly what happened in the past is there, but this genocide is ongoing. It's continuing. And what's changed recently is the evidence of that and what's happened in the past has now gone up online. With your permission, I'll put the website into the chat room. and people can now download Kevin's 400 plus pages
of
evidence.
Can you email that to me as well? Because if you're talking about the Justin TV chat room, I'm not actually able to see that because we're using a new video system.
Sure.
But if you could email that to me, I'll definitely put it up there. And I was unaware that these kind of abuses are still ongoing. You would think that the church, and it seems strange, after all the revelations of abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, they still can't get it under control. Their only solution is, you know, if you talk about it, you're going to go to heck and you're going to burn for the rest of whatever. And, you know, it really is. I think religious power, like political power, is attracting the very sort of people who should never have it.
Absolutely.
Okay.
But
all right.
Thank you very much. I'll let you get back to the current stuff, and I'll get the info. We'll talk again. Thanks, Mike.
Email that to me, and I will definitely put it up because it is an issue. It seems to be a common feature. I think there was a phrase for it, the Fuhrer principle, which was that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely, and especially when you're dealing with the sort of sociopathic people who are attracted to positions of power. They are not hesitant at all to abuse it. I remember growing up as a kid, you know, hearing the myths and legends of Boys Town, and there were movies made about it, what a great place it was, and what good work they were doing. And then we had the Franklin scandal here in the United States of America. And if you don't know what I mean, go out in a search engine and search for Franklin scandal. And it involved young boys being taken into the White House, apparently for sexual purposes, and they were being literally shopped out of Boys Town. It's the person who was behind this whole thing was going over to Boys Town, picking out a couple of young kids and saying, I'll take care of these guys for a while, and then taking them out for wild parties involving some of our more pedophilic Congress critters. One presumes videos and pictures were taken to make them compliant to a given agenda. But it is a huge, huge problem that we cannot seem to find leaders who are willing to be responsible to the people that they're leading. And it's a very predatory culture we have right now in power, both in government and in the banks and in the church here. All right, I want to get back to current events here. Remember the other day we were talking about this story that was floating around. In fact, it was just yesterday. We're talking about this CBS senior reporter, Lara Logan, was reported to have been beaten and raped by those gosh darn democracy protesters in Egypt. And it just didn't feel right. And more than myself, we're putting out stories saying, I don't think I trust this. I don't trust it. It is so easy for people to scream rape and get attention to boost a career or just to feel good about themselves or cash in. You know, during the 1990s, you were an instant celebrity if you were a rape victim. And it didn't feel right. And I was saying, you know, it feels a lot like the Jessica Lynch story where they had this really cute blonde soldier who was injured in the opening weeks of the Iraq conquest. And the official story was, oh, she was attacked and beaten and raped by those Iraqis. And Jessica herself was saying, you know, I don't remember it. And the Iraqi doctors who treated her and then gave her back to the Americans, she was not held prisoner, said, you know, she was in a car accident. You know, the guy driving the vehicle she was in screwed up, rolled the vehicle, and everybody in it was hurt, and we've patched them, and here they are. And it turned out to be a fake story. You know, just like that story about the football player, I can't remember his name, who joined the army because he really thought he was doing a good thing, helping to go over and kill those Iraqis, and he wound up dead, and it turned out to be a friendly fire incident because he had seen the truth of the Iraq war and was starting to go public with it. And it goes on and on and on. Well, today, okay, I got so many nasty emails from feminists, you know, these leftover feminists from the 1990s screaming about how you male patriarch dominance type chauvinist pig. You should never, ever doubt a woman's accusation of rape. Rape is so serious, even innocence is not a defense. And how could you do this? How could you doubt her? And blah, 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 blah. And we know there've been, you know, rape at one time during the 1990s. The FBI said rape was the most falsely reported crime in America. So there is a foundation for that. You know, a lot of women were crying rape to get attention, to get revenge. Gary Dotson went to jail for 6 years because, what's her name? Crowell. Kathleen Crowell. I'm blanking on the name. I'm going to forget that. But the girl was having sex with her boyfriend, didn't want her parents to know. So when the mother sort of said, you look like you've had an experience, and she said, oh, I was raped, and eeny, meeny, miny, mo, he did it. And the guy that she just picked out at random went to jail for 6 years. So we know these things happen. So today, CBS has basically come out and confirmed that Laura Logan was not raped. There was something that happened where she needed to go to the hospital and be checked out, and she's been released from the hospital, and she's home resting with her family. She was not beaten by the protesters. She was not raped. It was an attempt to portray the democracy protesters in the worst possible light. The story fell apart almost immediately. So for all of those, you know, frustrated 1990s antiquated feminists who were writing nasty emails into me, all right, moving right along here. Now, we are seeing again more indications within our own government of preparations to basically lock the country down. The writing is on the walls. What began in Iceland is sweeping the world. There is a global revolt against the global banking conspiracy to enslave us all, to manufacture debt, to brainwash us into thinking that when the U.S. government runs up trillions of dollars of debt without our permission, that really our duty is to work and slave to pay for it all. You know, it used to be rule by divine right and rule by, you know, all these other myths and legends. Now it's rule by debt. Yes, yes, you must allow us to rule over you because, you know, we're the ones trying to solve this whole debt problem. Actually, you're the ones who created it. And I think everybody around the world, from Iceland to Egypt to Tunisia to Jordan to Bahrain, is standing up and saying, look, you got into this debt mess without our permission. You will get out of this mess without our help and our money. Or you will not get out of it, and either way, that's fine. The government's created this nightmare disaster. The government's either going to fix it on their own or they're going to go out of business. That's the way it works in the real world. If you're running a business and you plunge yourself hideously into debt because you always assume the customers are going to cough up the money for it, and the customers change their mind and say, I'm not going to pay for your high prices anymore, and you go out of business and you make way for somebody with better fiscal sense. That's how it works in the real world. In those marble temples in Washington, D.C., drinking the water that's coming through those lead pipes, there may be a big part of the problem right there, they seem to have this delusion that God intended for them to rule forever, to spend money like there's no tomorrow, and the American people would always cover the costs. We're out of money. We are flat out of money. The problem is with money addicts. The money must flow toward them, and it's never allowed to flow back. And sooner or later, that has to break down. For an economy to be a system, money has to be flowing at all levels. The path to peace is commerce, and commerce means money comes to you and money goes from you. It goes back and forth constantly, but these sociopathic money addicts that are currently in charge of the banking system and the U.S. government, not to mention the entire country of Israel, their idea is the money must come to us and none must go back. And that is the way this invisible man who lives in the clouds that nobody else can see but me has said it's supposed to be. And it must end with a crash. Sooner or later, it must end with a crash here. Meanwhile, the real world keeps intruding on these little fantasies of Wall Street and Washington, D.C. The jobless claims tip back above 400,000. That's what they're admitting to. And remember, they're fudging the books to keep the numbers as low as possible. Because that's just the number of people filing for first-time claims of unemployment. That's just the number of people who have just now lost their jobs and does not reflect how many people in total have lost their jobs, how many have run off the ends of their unemployment benefits, how many people have just quit looking for work. And, of course, people who used to have high-paying full-time jobs and are working part-time, you know, minimum wage, they're still counted as fully employed. As are people who have lost a high-paying job and they're working two and three low-paying jobs just to keep paying their bills. From the government's point of view, hey, that's a job. We count that as a job. But if the government is admitting that unemployment is edging back up, I think it's probably a really, really dire situation out there. We see it around here, all the empty storefronts. We have a problem, you know, with the postal system. Not being able to deliver mail. They're in serious trouble over there. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Music. skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Have you heard? Proactive is new and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With New Proactive, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-635-1053. Because we're going to let a million people try New Proactive risk-free. Get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try new and better than ever Proactive. And you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of the new Proactive, two free extras, and free shipping when you call 1-800-635-1053. This is our best radio offer ever. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of new Proactive plus free shipping. That's right, free shipping. This offer won't last long. Call 1-800-635-1053. That's 1-800-635-1053.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're going to go back to the phones. Radkin in Vermont, aloha. Welcome to the show. What is on your mind?
Well, thank you very much, Michael. This is the first time I found you, well, the other day on shortwave, so it's a delight. And I just wanted to thank you for sharing some of the feedback you were getting. And to these unhappy women who think you're bashing them, I think they ought to do some research, because wasn't Gloria Steinem co-opted by Henry Kissinger and the CIA to help destroy the family, create a latchkey kids, get the woman out of the home, and create another tax base?
It was not only to do that, but the goal of the 1990, in hindsight, the goal of the 1990s militant male-bash feminism was to make men disposable in order to make them available to ship off to conquer the rest of the world. I think looking back in hindsight, we look at World War II, where they had the Rosie the Riveter campaign to get women into the factories to make the war munitions, and then when the war was over and they needed to have jobs for the returning soldiers, all of a sudden it was Fathers Know Best and Betty Crocker and Best Homemaking to get the women out of the factories and back home cranking out babies for the baby boom. And it's just all propaganda for the situation. And I want to be very, very clear here. This, you know, right now here at the dawn of the 21st century, 80 to 90% of women understand that what happened back in the 1990s was just another hoax. A bunch of greedy opportunists created a crisis out of thin air that didn't really exist, and exploited it to sell books and TV shows and basically pounded it until, you know, everybody's attention went someplace else. And I think one of the reasons we still have so many of these very angry, frustrated women left over from that time, and you need to understand, I supported feminism when it first came along and when it was considered equity feminism, where equal pay for equal work, equal access to credit, equal access to education, those are all things we can get behind. But the movement got hijacked, and there's actually a very good book about that called Who Stole Feminism by Christine Hobbs Sommers. And she basically talks about how equity feminism and fair play got hijacked into this gender feminism of constant male bashing and screaming. And I think the reason it happened, along with the obvious intentions to get women into the workforce and collect more taxes and to make men available for being soldiers, it's a very good thing to go tell women, go on out there and get into a career field and become a success. But where feminism failed was it didn't prepare them to not succeed. And so you had all these women who'd entered the corporate workplace, and most of them weren't getting anywhere for exactly the same reason that a lot of the men around them were not getting anywhere. There's only so many positions at the top. They're fought for very, very hard. And women started failing at corporate life for the same reason that most men were failing at corporate life. But whereas men are raised to accept their failure, you know, we're put into team sports as kids, you know, everybody around us gets to see us, you know, strike out and get tackled and go offsides and lose the games. And so we grow up being able to accept and live with our own failures. Women didn't have that training. And they started not succeeding, not living up to the social expectations of the feminists. And instead of saying, yeah, I guess I blew it, I don't have what it takes, they started looking around for an enemy. And those opportunists, the feminist exploiters, the ones who were selling the books and stuff, started saying, oh, you're really okay. It's those evil men, those patriarchs, those keep you in. And just, again, it was all about selling more books and stuff. You had Andrea Dworkin out there screaming that women ought to kill men randomly to put us in our place and just completely nonsensical stuff. But, you know, they made a lot of money doing it, and then they took their money and said, okay, that's done, and went off and, you know, just did the whole coffee klatch thing. You know, for the rest of their lives with all their looted wealth. And they left a lot of very frustrated, angry women in their wake who wanted to sign on to this belief that being a feminist meant, you know, unbridled access to success and glory and power. And for the vast majority of women, it never really happened. And again, for the same reason that the vast majority of men never achieve those kind of corporate successes. So that's kind of where that all comes from. And so I understand that they're angry and they're frustrated, but the reality is, there was nothing to the rape crisis of the 1990s any more than there was anything to killer bees or Y2K or human-caused global warming. It was simply something that was manufactured in the media for the express purpose of extracting political support and money out of the masses.
Michael, I didn't mean to distract you on this issue, but you did a wonderful expose, and I think it helped many listeners understand and clarified your position, which I agree with totally. And it also balkanized the sexes, too. I mean, collateral damage to the male, too, because women hate us. Well, I shouldn't say us, but I had a friend, and she was always frustrated with the glass ceilings. But I don't think she understood the depth of it. As you so eloquently...
There is no denying that there are glass ceilings, but there are ways to approach the glass ceilings, and there are ways to simply exploit the people frustrated by the glass ceilings, and the two are different. And the reason I went into the exposition is I am getting a lot of emails and stuff screaming about how dare you, and I basically wanted to solidify my position. Anyway, we're at the end of this segment. Thank you very much for the phone call. I love Vermont. I've got a lot of pleasant memories of that part of the country. I'm going to let you go here, though. We got to take a break, and when we come back, we'll be talking with Stephen Ontario. And, there's the music right there. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Join us on the air, 800-313-9443.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The Total Transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program, use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. We're going to go back to the phones. We've got Steve in Ontario. Aloha, Steve. Welcome to the show. What is on your mind?
Well, I got to tell you, I'm really kind of wondering what the heck is going on with... You got the New York Stock Exchange, one of the most glorified institutions on the planet, especially in the United States.
By their own admission.
Go ahead.
By their own admission.
Exactly. Being bought out by a German... by the German Stock Exchange. At the same time, you've got the Toronto Stock Exchange, also on the East Coast, being bought out by the London Stock Exchange. And, you know, it seems odd that this would both be happening at the same time. When you consider, when you look back at 9/11, what was one of the key things that happened there when those buildings went down? It was financial records disappeared for a lot of major SEC cases and corruption. And right now you've got them waving Anwar al-Awlaki in front of us. They got us big stories out about the FBI is saying there's a 100% chance of a nuclear attack on American soil. They've got all this fear-mongering going on. It's almost like what they were doing before 9/11, waving bin Laden in front of us, boogeyman, boogeyman.
Yes.
I'll be honest with you, I'm actually a little concerned that they're setting themselves up to make all the foreclosure gate disappear, as well as the derivatives and the silver shorting by JP Morgan Chase, because they've even been saying that now Wall Street is a target. this is all over front pages. So, I mean, every time you see a front page, you and I and most of your listeners know there's a reason that this is on the front page. It's
yes.
to get the idea in your mind that we need to be worried about Wall Street being bombed, about nuclear weapons, about this and that. And they daren't let the financial system go down this time like they did on 9/11 for any extended period of time. So what did they do? They just moved the exchanges over to Europe while the East Coast is shut down. Is that a ridiculous theory, or?
No, it's not ridiculous, but I don't agree with all aspects of it. First of all, I think the next false flag is going to hit on the West Coast, simply because the East Coast has been pre-disastered, and everybody's used to it over there. You know, if New York, boom, oh, another one, big deal. Nobody's going to get excited. But I think the next false flag attack is going to be on the West Coast. I would say probably number one on the hit parade, so to speak, would be the Golden Gate Bridge, because that's about due for replacement anyway.
Okay.
As far as the selling of the stock exchanges in Toronto and New York, I don't know that that's a preparation for a false flag so much as the fact that in both cases, the value of the stocks are being artificially propped up through this quantitative easing. And so I think the idea is they're going to consolidate into a global stock market that is going to be more easy to conceal the chicanery of quantitative easing, of inflation, of printing up money to basically prop up the stock market. I think basically the U.S. is ready to collapse, and by moving the stock market out of the U.S., it's going to protect the wealth of those people who still have a significant amount of money in the stock exchange, such as members of the United States Congress. So I would view that as a warning sign in that particular context. As far
Definitely
as leading us to another
sign.
War... Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, as far as leading us into a new war, there's no question that both the United States and Israel see kicking off a major regional, if not global, war is pretty much the only way they're going to get out of this mess that they've created. Their credibility is gone. The economies are absolutely crumbling. There is a global revolution underway right now that is aiming itself at the central bankers, and the central bankers have never been shy about starting wars to get themselves out of trouble. The United States got out of the crash of 1907 by getting into World War I. They got out of the crash of 1929 by getting into World War II. We're in the throes of the crash of 2007, and look how hard they're trying to start a war with anybody.
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. And, you know, even if there was something that happened on the West Coast, I think this time there would definitely be, in my mind, if it was big enough, martial law called. And at that point, no one would be, you know, things would be shut down for an extended period of time. Don't you agree?
I would agree. And, you know, I don't want to give anybody any ideas, but
yeah.
I would say probably they're only going to have one more chance they can try for one of these false flag attacks before everybody gets really, you know, ticked off and says, look, you keep trying this, we keep not going for it, why do you keep treating us like idiots? So I would say that probably this next attack, there'll be a big bang to kick it off, and then, like the anthrax letters following 9/11, there'll be a threat of biological attack across America to make the sense of fear and terror immediate. You know, the air you're breathing could be laced with super Ebola or some such nonsense like that. And then they'll say that, you know, they're already trying to sell this idea that Al-Qaeda is here in America, that half of Americans are already terrorists, and we've all got vials of biological weapons, you know, in our blenders. And, you know, we're communicating over the Internet, so they got to shut that down. And it'll just be this huge draconian crankdown. Which probably explains why Obama's out there talking to Steve Jobs and all these other high-tech people in Silicon Valley. They're probably looking for a way that they can implement the Internet kill switch that we understand they're getting ready to pass that law. Which
yep.
is, again, what makes it so hypocritical for Hillary Clinton to be talking about Internet freedom in these countries they're trying to overthrow at the same time they're getting ready to shut it down here in the United States of America, and it's not going to work. Did we lose Steve? I guess we lost Steve. Okay. All righty. Moving right along then. It is hypocrisy. The U.S. government is saying one thing to all these other countries like Iran and whatnot, and yet here in the United States of America, protesters are locked in dog kennel cages. They're confined to free speech zones. Now they're talking about an Internet kill switch, and it's not going to work. Because if the Internet is shut down, we've got cell phones. And if they shut down the cell phones, the economic damage from that will sink the American economy. remember, when revolution comes to the United States of America, because of all the foreign investment that's in our banking system, that is held here only with the promise that American taxpayers will always cover losses, a revolution in this country does not have to prevail. It doesn't have to beat the army. It doesn't have to march into Washington, D.C. All it has to be seen to do is survive long enough to convince those foreign investors that maybe it's time to yank their money out of the American banking system and move it someplace else. It only took 18 days in Egypt. All righty, moving right along here then. As I mentioned earlier in the show, consumer prices rising at quickest pace in over a year. The prices you pay for your food and gas and whatever it is you need to live on are jumping through the roof. Why? Because Ben Bernanke's got that printing press running to shower these printed notes all over his buddies in Wall Street, which is called inflation in the real world, or quantitative easing if you're a government propagandist. But remember, if you're not willing to pay twice as much money for half as much product, then the terrorists will have won. Or at least that's the conventional wisdom coming out of Washington, D.C. Meanwhile, over in New Haven, Connecticut, where they're having trouble making ends meet over there, the police union official is recommending that residents arm themselves because the police aren't going to be available to answer calls in the homes anymore. So if you're in New Haven, get a gun. I'm cleaning up the old blunderbuss myself around here. Now, interestingly enough, as part of his desperate grab for more money to keep the government floating along a little bit longer because he couldn't get his carbon tax, Obama is now proposing a fee for Canadian visitors coming into the United States of America. So his attitude is he's going to solve the financial burden of this country by making Canadians pay an added fee to come into the United States and get their crotches groped by a total stranger who couldn't hold down a job at the local McDonald's. So, yeah, that's really going to boost tourism, I think. I can't imagine Canadians coming into the United States without a really, really compelling reason. In fact, I can't imagine anybody coming into the United States and being subjected to that kind of abuse and humiliation without a really compelling reason. And yet, they're spending another, what, $4 billion on those scanners to give us all cancer? It's another racket. It's just another racket. Create a crisis that doesn't exist. You know, fake it if necessary. Crotch bomber, shoe bomber, oh, there's a crisis of terrorists on airplanes, and we're going to sell you billions of dollars of these machines to make it all better. Now, meanwhile, of course, in the wake of the FCIC report, more and more pundits, even on the corporate media, are coming back and saying, why are these Wall Street gangsters who destroyed the nation's economy over the last going on 10 years not in jail for their crimes? And apparently, we are now hearing from the U.S. federal government that they're close to punishing the banks over foreclosure fraud. And we're hearing in congressional testimony that the penalties against the banks could range to billions of dollars. Ooh, wow, billions, it's a big number, right? No, it isn't. The foreclosure gate, foreclosure fraud, fraudulent mortgage-backed security scandals have cost the American people $14 trillion. That's how much had to be printed up and poured all over Wall Street to get them out of having to go to jail for defrauding all these foreign banks like Credit Suisse and Deutsche Bank, all these pension funds and everything. And it's destroyed America. Millions of people are homeless who did not need to be. The FCIC report is admitting that none of this would have happened if Wall Street was playing by the rules and if the government had held Wall Street to the rules. So now they're going to say, we're going to penalize them $1 billion or more. Well, what a sweet deal that is. If you were to give me $14 trillion, I'd be happy to hand back $10 billion or more in fines to get off the hook. What a sweet deal that would be. And just to show you what a swell Joe I am, I'd be happy to pump a couple of $1 million into every president's candidate campaign contribution fund, members of Congress. I would be incredibly generous with what's left of that $14 trillion after getting out of legal trouble by paying a couple of $1 billion in fines. This is such a swindle of the American people. This matter is not resolved until the entire $14.3 trillion is recovered from Wall Street and returned to the American people, and the Wall Street gangsters thrown in jail. The United States should have done what Iceland did. Kick out the government that got them into this mess and then throw the bankers in jail. That is the correct way to deal with this crisis. So instead, the U.S. government is going to come out and say, yes, yes, we let it happen, and we're sorry about that, but we're going to make it all better. We're going to make those banks pay us a couple of billion dollars out of that $14 trillion that you had to give them. Talk about wrist slap. Just amazing here. So the bottom line really comes down to a very, very simple concept, and it gets back to that idea that I mentioned in the first hour of the show about a little village, and you've got a value-based money system, and a foreign counterfeiting ring comes in, bribes your mayor to change the laws to make counterfeiting legal for that one group, and then they sit about just basically raking in all of the real assets of the town and plunging everybody into artificially created debt. Are you responsible for that debt? No. When you apply to the national scale, are we responsible for all the debts run up to the Federal Reserve? No. The Federal Reserve is not the monetary system the country was started with. The Federal Reserve was bribed and politicked into existence, and it's not even the first one. It was the third one. And all three nearly wrecked the nation. Everything the Federal Reserve does was originally illegal under the laws of the United States of America, with death penalty offenses to debase the currency. But the bankers come in and bribe the government to change the laws to make their theft and counterfeiting and debasement the law of the land, and to prevent alternative currency systems through the legal tender laws. You must use their counterfeit money. So go with the laws of the current United States of America. Now, the Federal Reserve was created before any of us was born. No American citizen alive today was allowed to vote on whether there would be a Federal Reserve, let alone whether we agreed to underwrite the paying of interest for the public currency, whereas before the public currency was provided for free. The government would print up the money it needed, spend it into circulation for what the government needed to operate to fix the roads and build the schools and hospitals, and then at the end of the year they would tax that same amount of money back in to zero out the bookkeeping and keep the economy balanced. And the money was out there circulating through the economy. That's how it was set up, and that's what made the United States of America one of the best standard living nations in the world. And it's a wonderful system, and the private central bankers hate it. They hate it anywhere this system shows up. And they will go out of their way to start wars and boycotts to destroy economies that don't rely on the private central banking model. That's what they did to Germany. When Adolf Hitler turned Germany's economy around by kicking out the private central bank and government-issued currency, they declared a boycott against Germany, which set the stage for World War II. When Abraham Lincoln printed his greenbacks, it was a threat to the bankers. After he was assassinated, Congress pulled the greenbacks out of circulation and sold the American people back into the slavery of the private central bank. John F. Kennedy, with Executive Order 11110, issued $4.5 billion in U.S. notes that circulated through the economy without needing to pay interest on them to the Federal Reserve. 5 months later, he was shot dead. And the president of the Chase Manhattan Bank, John J. McCloy, was put on the Warren Commission to make sure nobody found out what was really going on out there. Now, when Congress passed TARP, the first of these many bailouts to save Wall Street from having to pay the consequences of the fraudulent mortgage-backed security scandal, 90% of Americans said, do not use our tax money to save the bankers from their own greed and recklessness and stupidity and criminality. And Congress did it anyway, because members of Congress are invested in the same scams. They were protecting their own wealth on the backs of the American taxpayer. And that means if they're not representing our interests when they carry out their votes, then we are living with taxation without representation, which in that little country schoolhouse I went to in New Hampshire is a good reason to fire the government, because it's a big reason we'd fired the government before, back in 1776. Taxation without representation. The government takes your money and doesn't listen to you about where you want the money spent. We don't want it given to the Wall Street bankers. We do want it spent on our roads and our schools and our hospitals and our infrastructure, our flood control, our bridges, the safety of the oil drilling in the Gulf of Mexico. And the government says, to heck with what you want. We're going to give it to Israel. We're going to spend it on war machines, and we're going to give our, you know, Wall Street bailouts and stuff, because we can't let our buddies, the bankers, go to jail just because they set off the biggest financial swindle in history since the Great South Seas Bubble of 1721. We can't let that happen. We know what's best, and what's best for America is we've got to protect those bankers. We've got to protect the money. You know, letting millions of Americans become homeless is a small price to pay to preserve the strength of the American dollar. Whatever it is they tell themselves, you know, looking in the mirror at night with that bottle of scotch in their hands to get to sleep. I don't know what it is. We're going to be back with the last segment of our show after these words from our sponsors.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held. But a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this Extendovite. I would have never believed that a few simple herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream, or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And CNN is doing a story about how some trees got poisoned in Auburn. Isn't that horrible? Isn't that just really headline news material here, like it really affects our lives? Meanwhile, over in Wisconsin, I'm getting emails from listeners and readers who are saying that the normally operating live webcams around that government square area are no longer operating. Now, it may just be that they're overloaded. I'm sure that everybody is tired of CNN showing, you know, 20 protesters off to one side, and after seeing that Russia Today video, they understand CNN is not showing the accurate picture, so everybody's grabbing the live webcams to take a look. Maybe, or maybe it's been shut off. Another story that we're getting here is that apparently flyers are being handed out to all those protesters, which are basically saying the police are coming to clear out the building. If you do not leave, you will be arrested. Okay? Now, I'd like to read something to you. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Those government buildings belong to the taxpayers. They have a right under the right of ownership and under the First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States of America to stand in that building and tell the government what they want the government to be doing. And if the government uses force to remove those protesters from their buildings, that is a violation of the Bill of Rights. And the fastest way to bring down a dictatorship is to force them to act like one where everybody can see it. Now, final comment before we let the show go today. We have a little t-shirt around here that we sell, and it says very simply on the front, there is no freedom without the freedom to say no. And if you really think about it, this is the acid test about whether you live in a dictatorship or not. Free people can say no, slaves cannot. We're in a situation where we are being told that we must accept a lowered standard of living because Wall Street needs more money, because Washington, D.C. needs more money, that we must make do with less so that they can have more. Can you say no to that? If you don't agree with the government looting America to enrich Wall Street or Israel or the war machine, can you say no and be listened to? If you can't, then you're not free. You're a slave. The people of Iceland are free. They stood up and they said no. They said no to the government, and when the government wouldn't listen, they got rid of the government. And then they jailed the bankers who created the mess. All across Europe, we're seeing people stand up saying no. These are free people saying no to the IMF, no to the private central bankers, no to the looting of the ordinary people to enrich the elites. And now it's hitting the Middle East, Tunisia, Egypt, Yemen, Algeria, Jordan. They're all standing up and they're regaining the freedom to say no. And that's what we need to do here in the United States of America. Hillary Clinton can stand up there all she wants and talks about freedom of speech while Ray McGovern gets the crap beaten out of him, you know, by the Gestapo. But if you can't say no, then you're a slave. And it's time for America to regain its right and its duty to say no to this government. We'll be back tomorrow, 2 o'clock Central, here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Until then, stay safe, stay well, learn how to say no, practice in front of a mirror, and aloha, America.
The next round.